of the Earth, lazily rotating through the silent voids of space, is the Arthur C. Clarke Astronomical Observatory, Starlab. Here, Earth's International Space Authority, ISA, watches over countless uncharted galaxies and the planets that lie within their star-clustered borders. One of those planets is Tinian 3, site of the top-secret Starsmith Project. Beyond the atmosphere of Tinian 3, a sudden, unexplainable incident whose momentum will soon carry Starlab Research Director Maura Cassidy, Captains John Graydon and Buddy Griff, and the Starsmith Project itself into the unknown territory of Alien Worlds.
Identified ship at 168 degrees, bearing 1,000 meters and closing. Over.
Roger, Xanadu. I'm picking it up, too.
Switch to visual. Let's have a look at her. Over.
Roger, we've got it on the visual. Oh, my God, it's enormous. Eldorado, do you recognize the markings? Over.
Negative, Xanadu.
Wait a minute, Bill.
I'm picking up a tractor beam generator impulse from the UFO.
They've locked onto us, Xanadu.
They're overriding our shielding circuits.
Bill, I see another tractor beam nozzle. Get out of here. Dive. Xanadu, we're inside the UFO.
They're closing the hatch on us.
I can see.
Starlab Control, this is Xanadu Trainer. We have a condition red alert. Repeat, red alert. Coordinates 595. Do you read? Over.
Starlab Control to Xanadu Trader. Starlab Control to Xanadu Trader. There's too much static on this frequency. Switch to subchannel 4.
Roger, Starlab Control. Subchannel 4. How do you read me now? Over.
4 by loud and clear. Go ahead.
We've just been attacked by an unidentified alien vessel. Huge. Twice the size of a Viking-class cruiser.
What's your location, Xanadu?
We're orbiting in a descent vector over Tinian 3. Triangulator coordinates 595.
Any damage?
A negative, but the other freighter is gone. The Eldorado, she was orbiting with us.
Destroyed?
No, the alien didn't fire a shot. They locked onto the Eldorado with a tractor beam and took her aboard through some kind of recovery hatch.
But what was the Eldorado's cargo?
Same as mine. Classified hardware for the Starsmith Project.
That's right, Commissioner. The alien was after both of them. The captain of the Xanadu trader said if he hadn't taken evasive action, the tractor beam would have snatched him, too.
Well, I don't know how they found out, but it's obvious the aliens knew exactly what those two freighters were carrying.
What makes you think so, Commissioner?
Well, dozens of commercial vessels use the Tinian 3 shipping lanes every day, Mara. All of them filled to the bulkheads with priceless cargo. Yet this alien goes after the only two ships carrying classified scientific equipment of the Starsmith Project. So somewhere, somehow, there's been a security leak.
Well, what do you want us to do?
Where are Graydon and Griff?
They're out patrolling the Corona Echo Intersect in Delta 1.
Well, call them back to Starlab. I'll be up on the next shuttle.
All right, yes, sir. Jerry.
Yes, Mara.
Contact Delta 1. I'll be down in a minute.
Okay, Ma. Delta 1 coming up.
Hey, Skipper. Take a look at the echo pattern on G-Monitor. The diameter of the Corona Major star cloud is nearly 3 parsecs bigger than it was a year ago.
Huh. Well, that's what evolution is all about, buddy. Constant change. Limitless expansion. I wonder what Copernicus and Galileo would have done if they knew just exactly how...
Starlab Control to Delta 1. Starlab Control to Delta 1.
Delta 1 to Starlab Control. Go ahead, Jerry.
Buddy, John, return to Starlab immediately. ISA orders.
Wow, Skipper, talk about evolution. It sounds like Jerry's turned into the sweetheart of Sigma Five.
I heard that.
Very funny, buddy. But the joke will be on you if you're not here when Commissioner White arrives.
Oh, the Commissioner White? Star of stage, screen, and telescan monitor?
John, what's wrong with Buddy? Too much nitrous oxide in his oxygen?
Too much stargazing, Mora. It finally got to
a likely story.
What's the problem, Mora? Why is the Commissioner coming up?
ISA thinks there's been a security leak at the Starsmith Project on Timian 3. That's all I know.
The Starsmith Project.
All right, Mora. We're on our way. Delta 1 out.
A huge alien spacecraft hijacks a freighter in the shipping lanes over Timian 3. A second freighter barely escapes. The cargo of both vessels? Classified scientific equipment for the Starsmith Project. A secret ISA installation on Timian 3. A lonely, Earth-like planetoid orbiting at the threshold of alien worlds. Hijacking over Timian 3 by a mysterious alien ship and the suspicion of a security leak at ISA's top-secret Starsmith project on Timian brings Captain John Graydon and Buddy Griff back to Star Lab from a routine surveying mission.
I never heard of the Starsmith project, Mora. What is it?
Search me, Buddy.
Well, I don't mind if I do.
John, I think we'd better depressurize Buddy's libido before it's too late.
Ah, saved from a fate worse than death. Hiya, Kamesh.
Hello, Buddy. John, Mora.
Hello, Commissioner.
Have you told him about the freighter hijacking, Mora?
Yes, sir.
All right, here's the rest of it. 3 months ago, Professor Logan Starsmith came up with a workable blueprint for a new hyperdrive unit, the SPA-1. The Starsmith Parsec Accelerator. It won't replace the HD-4 units now in service, but used in conjunction with them, the SPA-1 will increase their power by a warp factor of 10.
A warp factor of 10? Well, that's a 5-magnitude increase.
That's right, John. Now, our defense system depends on having the fastest ships in the galaxy, and to prevent the SPA-1 from falling into the wrong hands, we've kept it under wraps. We even had the various components built at separate locations. Now, 2 weeks ago, we reopened the ISA Plasmatron Laboratory on Timian 3 so Starsmith could assemble the unit. He took some of the components with him. The rest were aboard the Eldorado and the Xanadu Trader.
Well, how many people knew what the freighters were carrying?
Only Starsmith. The freighters were loaded 3 days ago. He ordered them up himself.
Well, when did you find out?
He didn't contact ISA until the ships were orbiting Timian.
Well, if there's been a security leak, Starsmith would seem to be the obvious suspect.
Well, that's what we thought at first, but there's no motive. He's rich, respected, dedicated, and completely devoted to his family. He's also one of those typically isolated geniuses whose concept of an alien is someone who sneaks into the country without a passport.
Well, what do you want us to do?
Go to Timian 3. Bring back Starsmith. We'll keep him here till we can figure out what's going on. Besides, I think a few days' rest will do him good.
What makes you say that?
Well, something I learned this morning from his assistant, Frank Baxter. He and Starsmith were taking a walk last night when Starsmith stopped and stared up into the sky for a long time, and then he said, "All my children are dying." And then he started to cry.
Professor Starsmith, it's Frank.
I can't talk to you now, Frank.
It's important, Professor. A message from Star Lab.
What does it say? What do they want?
They're sending a ship for you.
For me? Why?
Professor, what's wrong? Haven't you slept? You look...
Look? How do I look, Frank? Old? Tired?
Professor, I was...
You what, Frank? Care about how I look? Why? When did the young ever care about the old?
Professor, you know, ever since last night...
Why are they taking me to Starlab?
Well, in view of what happened yesterday, the commissioner feels you'll be a lot safer there.
Well, what about you?
I'll be all right. ISA is sending a fighter squadron to patrol Timian in case the alien does come back, but they don't want to take any chances where you're concerned. Besides, someone has to stay here and keep an eye on things.
All right. I'll go. I'm going to miss you, Frank. Are you still here?
Yes, Logan. I'm still here.
Then please finish with me, for God's sake. I can't stand the pain.
An alien voice in the dark. A sudden swirl of shimmering golden rainbows. Then silence, as Professor Logan Starsmith is drawn into the sunless void between Board Delta One. John Grayton and Buddy Griff are crossing another void, the space between Starlab and Timian 3, a distance normally measured in days, about to be compressed into one measured in minutes.
Okay, Buddy, let's start the switch over to hyperdrive. Pulse converters?
Pulse converters, check.
Shift register circuits, A through E.
A through E, check.
Sequencer links to substatus green.
Substatus green, check.
Primary and secondary parsec refractors.
Parsec refractors are in phase.
All right. Synchronize timers for a minus 15 interface and hold on to your hat.
Timers are set and counting. Hat is firmly gripped. Check.
If only Werner von Braun could see us now.
Who knows, Buddy? Someday if we stay in hyperdrive long enough, maybe he will.
We're through. There's Timian. You all right, Skipper?
Yeah, fine. How about you?
Okay. Except that now I'm 3 days late for my date with that Jupiter Mycroft technician.
3 days late?
Yeah. We were supposed to go out the day after tomorrow.
Right.
Roger, Delta One. Stay aboard. We'll rotate the pad. Professor Starsmith will be right there.
Roger, Timmy in control. Tell him to use the starboard ramp. We've already got the hatch open.
Roger, Delta One. Personnel ramp 5.
Professor?
All right, Lieutenant. Thank you.
You're sure you're all right, Professor?
Yes, Frank, I'm sure. I was just going through one of those neurotic episodes we so-called eccentric geniuses are famous for.
Well, I'll do my best to hold things together while you're gone.
Excuse me, Professor, but you'd better hurry. The magnetic storm we've been tracking is moving in fast. Another 15 minutes and you won't be able to launch.
I'll be in touch, Frank.
Goodbye, Professor. Take care of yourself.
Buddy, go back and sit with the professor during warp through. I can handle the switchover.
Yeah, I still can't believe that the guy who came up with the most fantastic parsec accelerator of all time has never been through parsec acceleration himself.
Yeah. I think men like him hide out in their private mathematical worlds because they're afraid of what their discoveries might lead to. Look at Einstein. He presented his atomic chain reaction theories to the government and was kept in the dark about the bomb until it was finished.
You know, it would be great if the professor had a really nifty daughter.
Any reason in particular, aside from the obvious ones?
Mm-hmm. We'd never get tired of each other. As long as the professor was there to keep shuffling time around, it would always be love at first sight.
Buddy, please see about making the professor comfortable.
Right, Skip.
How you doing, Professor?
A little nervous, but other than that, I'm fine.
Well, you'll experience a little blurred vision at light speed, but that'll clear up as soon as we warp through. Don't worry about a thing. I'll be right here beside you all the way.
I appreciate that, Captain. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen. Timers are synchronized for a minus 10 interface. See
you on the other side.
Here we go. Captain Griff. Captain Griff, please. Please, help me.
Oh, my God. My God, Professor.
Skipper. Skipper, something's happening to the Professor.
Buddy, what's wrong?
Oh, my God. He's shriveling up. He's dehydrated. I can see his cheekbones. Rainbows. Golden rainbows are spilling out of his eyes.
As Buddy Griff looks on, helpless, Professor Logan Starsmith undergoes a strange and terrifying metamorphosis. An unexplainable transformation that slowly reveals he is neither terrestrial nor humanoid, but is instead an inhabitant of alien worlds. Returning to Star Lab from Tinium 3, Delta 1 has warped through the time-space continuum, a routine hyperdrive procedure normally harmless to both terrestrials and extraterrestrials. But as Buddy Griff looks on in disbelief and John Graydon frantically radios ahead, their passenger, Professor Logan Starsmith, as a result of the warp through, is undergoing an astonishing transfiguration.
You heard me the first time, Jerry. The professor is changing into some kind of alien life form. Notify Mora and the commissioner, and tell Dr. Rossiter to get down to sickbay and open up the alienology unit. And get us aboard now. Whoever this creature is, he's dying.
Starlab control to all incoming traffic. Hold your positions. We have an emergency. Dr. Rossiter, report to sickbay. Prepare the alienology unit. Starlab to Delta 1. Red vector approach 589er. Bay 14, level C. I'm opening the doors now.
As Delta 1 orbits into an emergency docking vector with Starlab, another drama unfolds on the distant planet of Nikona, an alien world on the verge of extinction beneath a dying sun. Emperor Mika sits alone in the Imperial Tower of the Nikonian Citadel, awaiting the return of the ship he sent on a desperate mission to another galaxy.
Mika?
What is it, Ariana?
Our recovery ship has returned from Tinium 3.
Have the accelerator components been unloaded?
Mika, our ship was able to take only one of the Earth transports. The other one flew out of tractor beam range before we had...
I don't care to listen to any excuses today, Ariana. I ordered both ships to be taken. They weren't. I don't know how much longer I can tolerate having my orders disobeyed.
Mika, please. The life element supply aboard our ship was subcritical. If they had pursued the other transport, they might not have come back at all. I feel they did their best under the circumstances.
I think we have reached a point where what you feel is no longer important, Ariana. First, you convinced me to support Mateep's plan, which has obviously failed. Now, you stand there and suggest that failure to carry out a direct Imperial edict is acceptable under the circumstances.
Mika?
Nikona is dying. That is our only reality. And survival by any means possible is our only concern. Disobedience and failure, regardless of the circumstances, are inexcusable, and they have no place in an unforgiving and uncompromising universe.
There was a time when you understood failure.
Was there? I doubt it. What's being done with the crew of the capture transport?
They're being held in the Legionnaires' quarters.
Have them taken to the cells.
No, Mika, I won't. There's no reason to make them suffer your disappointment.
I see. Andros.
Yes, Mika?
Take the crew of the Earth ship to the suffocation chambers.
Yes, Mika.
Stop it, Mika. Stop it. I'll have them taken to the cells.
Ignore my order, Andros.
Yes, Mika.
Do you see
how useless it is to oppose me, Ariana? I know you think I have become a sadistic tyrant. But I am the Emperor of Nekona, and our situation is desperate. Unlike you, I have no affection for Earthlings, and if I have to execute 10 or 20 or even 1,000 to maintain your obedience to me, I shall do it. I am sorry, Ariana. I never thought it would come to this.
It came to this 2 solar years ago, Mika, when you ordered the construction of the first suffocation chamber.
Meanwhile, on Starlab, Delta One has docked, and the mysterious being Professor Starsmith has become lies near death in Starlab's alienology unit.
1723 UIT. Mark. Right and left lobes are 100%.
What are his chances, Diana?
We won't know until Mycroft finishes analyzing the pathological data. But if his body fluids keep misting out of him like this, he won't last another hour. Sandy?
Yes, Doctor?
How are you coming with the anti-dehydration chamber?
Just a few more minutes.
Captain Griff, you said his eyes were hemorrhaging golden rainbows. How long do they do that?
Well, it all happened so fast. 15-20 seconds, maybe.
Were his eyes transparent before the hemorrhage or after?
Before. His eyes changed, and then the rainbows just spilled out.
What is it, Diana? You have that look on your face.
The eye phenomena. I've read about it before. Captain Graydon, did you witness any part of the reversal process?
No, I didn't. By the time I got to the passenger deck, Professor Starsmith was gone, and this alien was there, strapped in next to Buddy.
Diana, why does he still have one human hand?
His bioenergy discharged too fast during the reversal to neutralize all the exterior synthetic tissue. It'll disappear if we can get him stabilized.
If? Diana, we've got to. He's the only one who knows where Professor Starsmith is and what this whole incident is all about.
The chamber's ready, Doctor.
Thank you, Sandy. Sandy, see what you can find in the alien medicine bank on ophthalmic hemorrhage reaction.
I'll call you from the display terminal.
Let's get him into the chamber. Maura, if you'll just open the main chamber.
Children, siata ut omitas matibsa. I'll miss you, Frank.
Linguistics, it's Dr. Cassidy. I want 2 Omnivox technicians and a portable phonetics decoder in the alienology unit immediately.
Riata, Forma, Anissa. Thank you, Captain Griff.
Buddy, he's talking to you. Why me?
You were the last life form he saw before the transformation.
I don't know what to say to him.
Dr. Rossiter, Sandy, the alien is an inhabitant of the Nekonian Empire.
Nekona, of course. Sandy, is the pathological data ready?
It just came off. I'm on my way down with it.
Matibsa. Matibsa. I'll miss you. Captain Griff.
Diana! Diana, he's not breathing. Do something.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mara. He's gone.
I'm going to miss you, Frank.
Delta One hyperdrives through the time-space continuum. As Professor Logan Starsmith is mysteriously transformed into a being from another galaxy. A creature so badly injured by the warp-through ordeal that Dr. Diana Rossiter, Starlab's executive physician, is unable to save him. And somewhere in the vast reaches of space beyond Starlab, the real Professor Starsmith waits.
lost behind one of those countless secret doors that open onto alien worlds. The Starsmith Project was based on a story by Ellen Pellicero and written by Ellen Pellicero, Ron Thompson, and Lee Hansen. Associate producer, Jeff Allen. Music director, Tom Rounds. Engineer, Stu Jacobs. Assistant to the producer, Laurie Tyler. Technical consultant, Peter Sky. Alien Worlds was created, produced, and directed by Lee Hansen and is distributed by Watermark Incorporated. And so, until next time, this is Roger Dressler inviting you to join us for the conclusion of the Starsmith Project on Alien Worlds.